Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our reflection this morning, we look both at our Old Testament lesson and at the gospel, and you may be seated. Who among us doesn't want life to be simple? Life just seems way too complicated, and it seems it would be better if we could just express it all in really simple terms. Simply right, simply wrong, and that's it. Now, there are a few things that are pretty straightforward. Don't put your hand on top of the hot stove. Right, wrong. Don't run out into the middle of the street without looking first. Right, wrong. Green Bay, Chicago. Right, wrong. Simple. Now, simple doesn't mean that it can't be complex. Look at the extraordinarily complex world that God has created. And yet, for those whom He created to dwell in it, it was intended to be simple. God created the man, and from the man He created the woman, and He brought the two of them together into this beautiful, intimate union, and it was so simple, they felt no shame. In their union is relationship. And as they are created in the image of God, that reflects the essence of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a perfect relationship. Their life was intended to be simple. All that they needed to sustain life was within arm's reach. They literally walked with God Himself. And in that relationship between the Creator and the created, they could choose to simply obey the commands of God. Now, their bodies and the environment in which they lived was every bit as mind-bogglingly complex as today. But their relationship, their life, designed to be simple. They were created by God to share faithfulness with God and love for one another. And God's intention for this human relationship is clear. We read, man shall leave father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Now, think about this. God was expressing His design for man and woman before there were even mothers and fathers. Because in that moment, at that time, Adam and Eve had no children. But God was already looking ahead, revealing His ongoing intention. The establishment of family according to His design. And it was simple until it wasn't, until it was complicated by their choice, their disobedience, their desire, their expectation to be more than God had designed them to be. And into simplicity, they brought sin. And the result was complicated brokenness. Fast forward to the days of Moses. God's people in his day are calling for the separation of this intended one flesh union. And Moses creates a law that allows for divorce, the dissolution of the relationship. Now, it should be noted that Moses is not endorsing the practice. He is faced with the burden of complicated brokenness. And in the ancient world, a certificate of divorce would accomplish several things. It would give the woman legal status. It would protect her from otherwise being accused of simply abandoning a marriage. It would prevent a husband from enriching himself on a dowry. In other words, marrying a woman, receiving that dowry and then dismissing her and thereby just keeping the cash. Couldn't do that. And it restrained ongoing conflict and perhaps worse. It was to retain some order in the face of brokenness. And fast forward to the Pharisees' challenge of Jesus. What did they want? Did they really want clarity? I doubt it. They wanted to trap Jesus, supposedly asking a simple question of right and wrong, and yet hoping his answer would divide him from Moses and the authority that God had entrusted to him. And so they ask, is it lawful to divorce? And Jesus answered, as he often did. He said, well, you tell me. What did Moses command? And they reply, Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of divorce. So Jesus acknowledged that was indeed the law. But then, as he so often did, he takes the letter of the law and he amplifies it into a matter of the heart. He says, Moses wrote you that command because of the hardness of your heart. And then Jesus immediately points away from the letter of that law and he points toward this amplified intention. And here he quotes verbatim God's expressed intention from Genesis 2. It is Jesus now who says, from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. The clear intention of God, spoken at the dawn of creation, and spoken again by the very Son of God during his earthly ministry among us. Could God be more clear? Then Jesus further clarifies, what therefore God has joined together, let man not separate. That's God's design, his simple intention. The one who created them, joined them together in a one flesh union of love and faithfulness intended to be enduring. And for those who confess the Holy Scriptures to be the very Word of God, God's intention is clear, even if life isn't simple. And it isn't. It is complicated, burdened, and broken. We find ourselves in a culture in which the understanding of fundamental human identity, human sexuality, has become this kind of ever more complicated soup in which so many now define identity for themselves. And we are called upon, demanded to accept, affirm, even celebrate any individual's self-determined identity, whether it resembles the clear intention of God or not. And in the midst of all of that social turmoil, we are called by God to be faithful to the clarity of His Word, faithful to the intentionality of His design, faithful to the command of our Lord that God's design be honored among us. But that must also be done with great care. Faithfulness to the pure doctrine of God's Word can be turned into some sort of club of condemnation to force another into obedience to God's Word, as if by law alone you could follow Christ. There are times for which the church must repent. Times when the people of God have simply wanted to say, this is right, that's wrong, you're in, you're out. And walk away, satisfied in our own righteousness. If we are ever tempted to make our condemnation sound so simple, then we must hear again the words of St. Paul. He wrote, if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. Paul makes clear that even if we are faithful to God's word without being loving, then it is we who are clanging cymbals, as he said, irritating makers of noise. You see, you can be right and be hurtful at the same time. On the other hand, there are those who would hear such a word of caution and say, well, that's it. It's all about love. That's what the church is called to be, right? Just love. Just be loving. Love whatever a person chooses to be or decide or do so we can all get along. However, when we presume to be loving without being faithful to the word of God, to the authority of Christ, we are proclaiming a false gospel. A false truth that St. Paul says is no truth at all. There is no love in proclaiming falsehood. And here is where our broken world cannot help but be complicated. To walk in the ways of Christ is to be faithful and loving. It is always both and. We must have the courage to proclaim the word of God as it is written. For it is the word of God that endures forever. It is only Christ who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And at the same time, we must love with the courage of Christ. We must be willing to love the one who sees the world in ways that are radically different than our own. For it can never be as simple as you're in and you're out. For Jesus said to the stewards of the law, who would stone a woman for prostitution, for her sinfulness. He said, let the one who is without sin cast the first stone. But he said then unto the woman, go and sin no more. This complete joining together of faithfulness, of love, law, and gospel is the authentic Christian life. And it is really, really hard to do. In fact, you will never get perfectly right that balance, that perfect harmony between law and gospel, faithfulness and love, your own temptations, your own sinfulness, your own ego will get in the way sometimes. There are days when you may be just a self-righteous hypocrite. And there are days when you will strive to love, and in doing so, be too afraid to share the truth of God's holy word. For either or both, we must repent. When our own brokenness gets in our way, we rely on the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We rely on the gospel. We rely on what Christ accomplished on the cross for us. For it is still only by faith in Christ that we too will ever enter the eternal kingdom of God. Our hardened hearts must be softened by the sweet news of God's grace. Our sins must be overcome by the sacrifice of His body and blood. Our complicated brokenness must be healed and restored by the simplicity of God's holiness. And for that heavenward call, we cling to Christ. Meanwhile, strive with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength to love the Lord your God, to be faithful to His word, to the truth of Holy Scripture, and love your neighbor with that radical, unrelenting love that Jesus has poured out upon us, even though we are undeserving, as He has poured out upon the world, friend and foe alike. And even as you labor to do both, rest. Rest in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit that binds us to Him and to one another as one family. Amen. And may the peace of Christ, which far surpasses our human understanding, assure your hearts and minds of God's love for you in Christ Jesus, today and always. Amen.
We confess together our faith.